someone last week that is not faithful to go to church at all, and even they could quote Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we looked at these first few verses last week. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we're going to kind of focus on the meaning of that second verse today, looking down through verse 12. Of course, there's a lot more there than we have time to cover. But it says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Folks, the Bible is a book of faith. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Is the Bible is a book all about people, some who had faith, some who did not. If I mention to you Abel or Enoch or Noah or Abraham or Sarah or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph or Moses, these are people that had faith. And in fact, that's what Hebrews chapter 11 does, is it reminds us that these people, because of their faith, they are pleasing to God. They are praised by God. They are inheritors of the promises of God, and they are pure because of God. Now, don't forget our acronym last week. It's very important. I hope you remember it. R-O-S-E, Rose, that faith has an effect of doing four things in our life. Faith brings us to repent. Come across somebody and they say, I don't believe in heaven, I don't believe in hell, I don't believe the Bible. There's not space for repentance there. We repent because we believe what God said. And folks, I just, in case you didn't know it, we believe this book. Amen? Amen. Every bit of it. Faith gives us the necessary ingredients for repentance. It also causes us to obey. You say, Pastor, I disobeyed God and it didn't make any difference. It will. And we walk by faith, not by sight. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that God's not dealing with it. In fact, God does deal with it. Faith also gives us the necessary means to serve. Say, Pastor, I have been serving God and I haven't seen any result for it. In due season you will reap if you faint not. Amen? And you say, Pastor, some folks don't serve God. They seem to be doing just great. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the rewards are given out, you'll understand how important service was. We don't serve God because of what we can see. We serve because of what the Bible says. And then faith gives us what we need to endure trials. Many of the people that you see in Hebrews chapter 11 faced tremendous obstacles and trials in their life. You say, well, Pastor, I couldn't do what they did. If God called you to, you could by faith. Amen? By faith. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. A little bit long, but please be patient. And look at what faith can do, what only faith can do, after we've read the passage and prayed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength, to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. I got to read verse 13 before we pray. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you promised us that when two or three are gathered in your name, that you're there in the midst. Lord, we've assembled here today. Come to this place. We meet together to worship, to honor you, to take time to remember you, to pray, to sing, to learn more of your word. And Lord, I pray today that everyone here, saved or unsaved, but everyone here would understand what you have for them in the Bible this morning. Lord, were it not for the Bible, we would not have a basis for our faith. There would be no foundation for it. If it weren't for the Bible, we wouldn't have the certainty that you've given us. If it were not for the Bible, we wouldn't know how to face the trials of life. We wouldn't know what you expect of us. We wouldn't even know the details of the gospel. But Lord, you have preserved all these things in the authorized version of the Bible. You've given that to us so that we could live by it. And you plainly stated that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, today I pray that you would speak to your people, and that you would move them to be more secure in their faith, to see their faith as something that is so very important in their life that they should be very careful to protect it and to grow it and to exercise it and to allow it to be as strong as it needs to be to get them through the trials of life and to allow them to serve you. I pray for some here today that may not know Christ as Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here that is not yet a born-again believer, Father, I pray that today that you'd open their eyes to the truth of the gospel, that they could be saved. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd just use us now. Bless our children's church as well. And all the things that we're about to say and do, I pray they would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would oversee this. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. But approximately half of the 40 verses that you see in Hebrews chapter 11 begin with the idea of faith. In those 40 chapters, there are approximately 20 different mentions of characters in the Bible. Some of them are mentioned more than once, and it describes what they did by faith. I won't read you the list of the 20. I've read some of them to you already, but they include people like Esau, people like Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. All these people are described, and it really is just a recap of a synopsis, if you will, of the stories in the Old Testament that we have read about people that had faith. And this isn't even the entire list. There are other people that we could have named, Jeremiah or Daniel, and he does mention the prophets, but not by name. And I'd kind of like to think that perhaps one day when you and I step into eternity, while we know God does not change his word, amen? That if there is a list in heaven, and surely there is of sorts, a list of people that had faith, and that had a faith that changed their life, that you and I would be on that list. That we would have some of the same characteristics that these people had. I'm just going to briefly go through some of these people just for a moment and just think about, if you know the Bible stories, what faith did in their life. There's the story of Cain and Abel's struggle. Abel's mentioned in verse 4 as to offering a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch, the man who was so close to God, he was translated. Noah, who built the ark, in a day where it never had rained, in a place where there was no water. Abraham, who left his home and didn't even know where he was going because he just obeyed God and went. Sarah, who gave birth at an age far past when birth was possible. Abraham, willing to offer his son Isaac on an altar. Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. Jacob blessing Joseph. Joseph's commandment that his bones be taken back to Israel, knowing that 400 years later, God was going to deliver the Israelites from the land of Egypt, although there was no evidence of it at that time. The hiding of Moses as a child, and of course his decision not to live in Pharaoh's house, his keeping of the Passover, his crossing of the Red Sea, and then, of course, the destruction of the walls of Jericho in the days of Joshua. The decision of Rahab the harlot to reject her own people and risk her life in order to deliver the spies that came in to spy out the land. And then finally, these allusions to people like Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. We ourselves could make a list of our own reading through the Old Testament. Look at all the people whose lives were not just changed by faith, but shaped by faith, governed by faith, lived by faith. They did the things that didn't make any sense if you walk by sight. But folks, when we walk by faith, it changes the way we live. We need to walk by faith. We need the kind of faith that you can only get from the Word of God, because faith is going to make you and I the kind of people that can reach the world for Christ, that can endure the trials of this life, that can give the gospel out with conviction, giving someone the story of Christ dying for their sins, not just as something we've heard about, but something we've experienced ourselves. Amen? We have a testimony that we can tell folks what Christ did in our life. So you have all these pictures in Hebrews chapter 11 of people who lived by faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you live by faith? Oh, yeah, Pastor, I think I'm okay there. What's the evidence of it? You see, when you look at these people, Abel, for example, a man like Abel, you say, how do you know Abel had faith? Well, he died for it. He was a man that was willing to bring the right sacrifice even when it wasn't popular, even when it wasn't accepted. His brother, his own family, killed him because he had done what God told him to do. There's evidence of faith in Abel's life. Enoch, the man that was translated, no other person in the Bible has that kind of testimony. God just took him because he pleased God. He walked with God. There's evidence of faith in his life. Noah building the ark, self-explanatory. Here's a man that spent over 100 years building a large ship with no obvious reason whatsoever. He just believed God. You see, if you have faith, you'll have the right sacrifice. You'll have fellowship with God like Enoch did. You'll be building something for God like Noah did. You'll be going the places God told you to go like Abraham did. You'll be producing fruit. Folks will be born again because of your testimony in your life, just as Sarah gave birth. You'll be the kind of person that will take steps to lead your children in a different way, just like Jacob did and just like Joseph. You will be interested in what happens in the future, not what happens today. There's so many other illustrations here. Time fails me. There are five people named in this passage, and the Bible uses this phrase, they died in faith. They died in faith. What does that mean? Well, let's look at them real briefly. It's in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. Now look at this, not having received the promises. Do you realize you and I are an awful lot like Abraham, for example? God promised Abraham a land. And on the day of his death, he had not yet received that land. Does God keep his promises? Amen. So what happened, Pastor? Oh, don't worry about Abraham. He's doing just fine. In fact, I'd a whole lot rather be with the Lord Jesus Christ than walk in the steps of this earth. But God's going to give that land. In fact, he has given that land to the descendants of Abraham, just as he promised. Abraham's a man that died in faith, not having yet received that promise. Abel, he died in faith. He brought the right offering. I like what the Bible says about Abel. I hope it can say this about you as well. Look at verse 4. It says, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and by it, he says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Let's just start right there today with the things only faith can do. Faith and nothing else but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross can make you and I righteous. Be very sure you understand God's definition of righteous. God's definition of righteous is being sinless. You see, God is righteous. Amen? Say, Pastor, people worry about sin too much today. It's just something we just take for granted. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of it. No, sin is the problem. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from a life of sin and from the penalty of sin. I hope that when you go to church, you don't go to church to be entertained. I hope church is entertaining, I guess, in some sense. But I'm more interested in the fact that when you go to church, that you draw closer to God. Because, folks, the closer you get to God, the farther away from sin you will get. And when you got saved, if you are saved, if you're here today and you are born again, Bible born again, Christ came into your heart, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And that doesn't mean that you're going to have some ecstatic experience or jump up and down or whatever. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and He will cause you to want to be holy. When you sin, He will convict you. When you walk with God, He will encourage you to walk further. The Holy Spirit, when He came into your life, He will change you. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. Because when you sin, you get convicted. When you think about disobeying God, the Holy Spirit is the one that says to you, you don't want to do that. That's going to dishonor God and it's going to hurt you. Abel is a man who obtained righteousness. And look at the answer here. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. Do you realize, as we've been going through Hebrews, the sacrifice has been the big issue here. You see, much of Hebrews addresses that question of whether or not the old Jewish sacrifices were or were not sufficient. And it's already put that argument to rest. The works of men, the picture of the real thing, the illustration that is seen in the sacrificial lamb was fulfilled when Christ died on the cross. If you think you have something that's better than Christ dying on the cross for your sins, you are mistaken. If you think you can add to what Christ did on the cross when he died for your sins, you are also mistaken. If you think salvation is a cooperative effort, I'll work with Christ and save myself, you are mistaken. You see, Abel, when he brought the sacrifice, he brought the lamb. When John saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming from a distance, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is the proper sacrifice. Amen? Say, Pastor, how could I know I am saved? I love the story of the Philippian jailer. We won't turn there. It's in the book of Acts. Brother Hickson will get there probably, what, about next summer? Fellow in Philippi, the jailer, rushed in, fell down in front of Paul and Silas, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, just make sure we understand what saved means. He'd heard them singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ that night. He knew they had a faith in Christ. And he wanted to know, how could I have what you have? I just ought to jump on that little rabbit trail for a minute and ask the question, do you and I have anything other people can see and want to have that in their life? You're going to have to let the Lord Jesus Christ change you so they can see something different, aren't you? And when they saw that, that Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, and your house can do that too. Your family can do that as well." He didn't have to go to a class, a catechism class. He didn't have to get baptized. He didn't have to speak in tongues. He didn't have to do 100 good works. He didn't have to change his own life and reform himself. No, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Say, Pastor, it can't be that easy. It's not easy at all. It wasn't easy when Christ died on the cross. But it is free. He paid the price. But when you turn to Him, you're not just turning to Him because it's a deliverance from hell. You're turning to Him because He's a deliverance from sin and a sinful life. I like the way it was expressed in Sunday school. If you live in sin long enough, you'll get tired of it. I can tell you an illustration right now that would shock you just a little bit of some people that are living in sin. And even today, they're suffering because of their sin. And they know better. It gets old after a while to live in sin. The first thing, the only faith can do is give you, and I'll use the word purity, just for the sake of alliteration, purity, righteousness. The Bible says our sins have separated us from God, but the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Amen? That's pretty simple. You know, you don't have to be complicated with this. If Christ took care of all of your sins, how many are left? I'm teaching algebra. My algebra students, there's an unknown in that equation. If all has been taken care of, there's none left. That's the answer, right? Christ took care of all your sins. You say, Pastor, what if I sin later? Christ took care of all your sins. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you can go out and live a life that's just wicked. The Bible says, how can you do that? The Bible says it's impossible. Because, once again, the Spirit of God won't let that happen. So the first thing we need to remember, only faith can save you. By grace are you saved through faith. Now, through the ages, some folks have dabbled with that equation or that idea a little bit. And they've said, well, maybe there's a way to obtain the grace of God. Maybe if I was baptized, that would cause me to receive the grace of God that saves me. Maybe if I was to participate in the Lord's Supper, that would give me the grace of God which saves me. And without getting into grand detail, I would just mention to you, it would seem to me like if that was the case, the Bible would say that. But the Bible doesn't say that. Ephesians 2 is the test of the gospel. And here's the test. If you did anything to get it, if you added to it, if you contributed to it, if it was partly dependent upon you, that's not the gospel. The Bible says, by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2:8, through faith. Not through the Mass, through baptism, through good works, through church membership, through giving. By grace are you saved through faith. And then just in case you didn't miss it, and that not of yourselves. It, what is it? Salvation. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved because we trust in the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ has made on the cross. Pastor was preaching in Brazil. I didn't observe this. I heard the story. He was preaching in Brazil, and he was not familiar with the Brazilian customs, and had, the church had a bunch of people in it. He was preaching, and he said this. He said to the people in the church, he said, right now, you could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And a couple of fellas got up and started walking towards the front of the church. And of course, they're translating into Portuguese, and so this is all kind of confusing. And the pastor who speaks English turns to the interpreter and says, what are they doing? The interpreter tells the pastor, well, you said that they could get saved right now. Amen. They want to get saved. Amen? Amen? That's not so bad. Salvation is not through anything you and I can do. The purity that comes from, the purity that's necessary to save you comes only from the blood of Christ cleansing you from your sins. There's a second thing only faith can do, and it's in this passage as well. Let's keep on going here. Look at Enoch in verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated. You say, what does that word translated mean? Well, the simple definition is changed. Changed from one form to another. Enoch just stepped into heaven. He never died. You know, he's one of those people in the Bible that has a unique situation brought about by his faith. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Somebody went looking for Enoch. Where's Enoch? I don't know. We can't find him. He was here yesterday. He's not old enough to die. What happened to Enoch? I don't know. He's not here anymore. He's with the Lord. Enoch spent so much time with God, he just spent all of his time with God. And God just took him. Why? Well, here's the rest of the verse. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. By faith, he pleased God. Look at this. It's right here in the same passage. We read it already. It says in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Oh, that's important. Remember last year at missions conference, I made some bread. Made two batches of bread, one with yeast, one without. If you do not put something in your bread to make it rise, you're going to get crackers. That's just the way it works. In fact, even crackers have got a little bit of a rise in them. But if you don't put any yeast in the dough or some other leavening agent of some kind, you're not going to get bread. If you don't have faith in your life, you're not going to please God. Amen? Say, how pleasing am I to God, Pastor? I don't know how much faith have you got. These people pleased God. I think about this from time to time. I hope you do as well. The Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When I hear those words, when you hear those words, what do you think? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Is that going to be a casual kind of a day? Is that going to be all kind of get together and talk, kind of a party sort of a thing? No. The Bible says the things that we have done in this body are going to be examined. And so immediately when I think about standing before Christ, I think of my insufficiency, I think of my weakness, I think of my sin. And then I remember the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. You will not stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged for your sins, because your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen? If you're saved. But you will be judged on what you've done in this body. How do you spend your time? How did you spend your... The Bible says every idle word will be taken into account. How did you spend your week? How did you spend your life? That's the question. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, will he be pleased with me? If I had faith, he will. What is faith? I don't want to get too far down this rabbit trail, but I just keep having to bring it back to chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is believing God. Amen? So what did God say? Read this book, you'll find out. Faith is believing God. Be careful for nothing, the Bible says. But let your request be made known to God. I'm skipping through the verse. The Bible says, casting our care upon him, for he careth for us. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says we should do all sorts of things. I won't give you the list right now. Do you believe it? Abel did, amen? Abel knew, God said, bring a lamb. Abel brought a lamb. Cain knew, God said, bring a lamb. Cain brought produce. He didn't believe God. Of all the people that God could have come to and translated, because of his fellowship with God and his faith that pleased God, Enoch was translated. Enoch was different. Faith will make you different. When you stand before the Lord, I don't think you're going to have the opportunity to say, Lord, I didn't understand what you wanted from me. Because the answer, folks, is you had the Bible. And you didn't just have the Bible, but you heard the Bible preached. You heard the Bible taught. You read the Bible. You ought to be in your Bible every day, amen? God will talk to you every day if you get in your Bible. You had all these things. So, if you have this book, then you have what you need to have faith. And if you had faith, you'll please God. For example, if you did something, if you endured something like Job did, you endured something that was horrific, and you went through it all along knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'll see him in the last day. Even Job knew he had a Redeemer. If you go through something trusting in Christ as you go, that's worthy of praise. Amen? That pleases God. You had faith. If you did something God said to do, it seemed impossible. We'll do some things along the way with some missionary heroes. We've done a little bit of that already. I've talked about Adoniram Judson, a tremendous missionary who went because he had faith. All these men that went and to a foreign land and forsook everything they had here and lived a life preaching the gospel because they had faith. If you have faith, it'll change what you do. Amen? I've got to finish. I'm almost out of time. There's a third thing you're going to see here. Faith is how we obtain purity. Faith is how we please God. But then look at this other word that keeps popping up all the time. I'll just show you a couple of them. Let's look at, we can't skip over Noah here. Let's begin reading in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That word righteousness keeps popping up also. I haven't shown you the other word yet, but let's just pause here a minute in verse 7. God told Noah what to do, told Noah why to do it. The world was wicked. I'm going to destroy the world by flood, build an ark. And for over 100 years, as that ark got bigger and bigger and bigger, the men all around watched Noah build and build and build. And you know good and well that he was a preacher of righteousness, and he told them what they needed to do, and none of them believed him. You ever go out and go soul winning and nobody gets saved? How would you like to do that for 100 years straight? You say, Pastor, I went soul winning one time, nobody got saved. I don't see any point in going back. Noah preached for 100 years, nobody believed him. But guess what? Noah was right. Amen? And when the rain came, they could have believed. When the door was shut, it was too late. And he, believing God, was delivered. Faith changed his life, didn't it? Look at verse 8. This is the one I want to zero in on a little bit here. Verse 8 and 9, we're about done. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, look at that word, obeyed. We talked about that last week. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. I got to stop there just for a second. He didn't even know where God was sending him. Do you know where God is sending you? A lot of the times we don't. That's okay, God does. Amen? You took a trip with your children in the car and you're driving down the road and the first question is, are we there yet? No. And then the second question is, can we stop and play at McDonald's? No. Yeah, I guess so, maybe. I don't know. But ultimately, you, Dad, or whoever planned the trip, you had it all figured out. And the children don't really need to know a whole lot, just enjoy the ride, I'll keep you safe, and when we're there, I'll let you know. That's the same thing God did with Abraham. Abraham, let's go. Where are we going? I'll tell you. Just get in the car. Off they went. I think the distance, if I'm not mistaken, was something along the lines of 500 or 600 miles he traveled around what's now called the Fertile Crescent, came down into the Promised Land, and God said, this is the place. And God promised him that land, and folks, God keeps his promises. And folks, the land is for Israel, not the Gentiles. And enough said about that for now. I'm done. Look at this last verse here. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in, look at this, the land of promise. It says at the end of the verse, with him of the same promise. It says at the end of verse 11, that he judged him faithful who had promised. You'll see that verse in verse 13, received the promises. Folks, God keeps his promises. Some of them are conditional, some of them are unconditional. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a conditional promise. If you'll call upon the Lord, he'll save you. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I've done that. Here in about 5 minutes, you need to make sure you do. I'll show you how. Say, Pastor, I have trusted the promises of God and I haven't seen them come to pass yet. Yeah, neither had Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph. But they come to pass. Amen? Say, Pastor, what if I live my whole life trusting the promises of God and then I didn't see it happen? Well, this is the good news. You're going to step into eternity and you'll see it all right there. You're just like Abraham. You're waiting for a land to come. You're waiting for a promise that God will fulfill. And when you go into that new heaven and that new earth, whatever possessions you had here will mean nothing to you. In fact, they will be scraps compared to what God's prepared for us. Only by faith can you receive the promise. I wish I had time to show you some verses, but let me just explain to you what the Bible says. If you trust in God, the Bible says He is faithful who has promised. But if you do not trust God, that doesn't mean God doesn't keep His promises, but the Bible is very specific. Where you place your trust has a great deal to do with what you receive. If you trust yourself and don't trust God, you're in trouble. If you trust this world and don't trust God, you're in trouble. But if you trust God, do you trust God? Amen. Listen to me right now, just thinking right now. Can you say, I trust God even though I can't see it? Amen? Amen. I trust God. It is almost comical to me to watch what happens to people that trust God and people that don't trust God. And I don't want to be mean about it, but I've seen people that just won't trust God. And they're kind of smug about it. Ah, I got things under control. And then life comes along. And then the wages of sin come along. And then the disappointment comes along. And Proverbs talks about this. In fact, we were looking at this in school the other day. I think Brother Dahlman did a devotion on this, or maybe Brother Mendez, that wisdom cries out. But when you won't listen, then when the calamity comes, it's too late. And it's not funny, it's just satisfying to know God's always right. You're not going to win unless you're on God's side. But the really exciting part is for those folks that trust Him, amen? You read the stories of people that were martyrs, that died, burned at the stake because they would not give up their Bible or baptize their children as infants or deny Christ or dying because they had faith. And one day we're going to meet those folks in heaven. And I guarantee you, to a man, every one of them will tell you the same thing. I am so glad I could do something to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if it was a painful death. And I personally believe that in the great majority of those cases, God somehow delivered those folks in a way that it wasn't nearly as bad as the persecutor intended for it to be. But there are folks that have and do and will suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you meet those folks in heaven, every one of them will tell you it was worth it because of who He is. Now look at people that would stand there and allow themselves to be chained to a stake and the fire built and still refuse, even as the flames lap around their feet, still refuse to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, to deny the Bible, to go back on their faith. I look at those folks and I ask myself, what have I had to go through for faith? Amen? That's what this list is all about. People that endured. We'll see some more of that as the chapter goes on. We've got a choice, folks. We can believe God, or I don't know. But I do know this, God's right. The Word of God's true. His promises are true. And only by faith are you going to receive salvation, the purity, the righteousness that is necessary to step into His presence for all eternity. Only by faith are you going to see the pleasure that God gets. You're only going to please Him when you exhibit that faith, and only by faith are you going to see those promises fulfilled. And even salvation itself is dependent upon your believing that promise that God made. It's worth it. Amen? I'll read you the list again. We can ask these folks the question. I preached a message one time, and I can't do the illustration for the sake of time, but I just said, what if we were to line up and name some of the heroes of the faith? What if we were to sit down right now in this front row? We could put Moses down here, and we could put Abraham down here, and we could put, Daniel down here. And we could put the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace down here. And we could even put Paul, who died a martyr's death, and Peter, who died a martyr's death. And we could put them all down here in the front row. And one by one, we could ask them, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Would you go back? Are you sorry? What would they all say? It was absolutely worth it because of who he is and because of what he promised. And folks, you say, well, those are extraordinary individuals. Those are people that had a character that I don't have. No, they had the same spirit you have. The Holy Spirit lives in you too. And they had the same Word of God. In fact, you've got a benefit, an advantage. You have the complete Word of God. You have the same opportunity they had. Amen? Folks, it's worth it to believe God. Amen? To have faith. Let's all stand and pray.